welcome to Two Fat Daleks. My name is Doc, and this is my good buddy Rorschach. How you doing, Rorschach?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Rorschach.
Hey, man.
That's our new thing now. That's how we'll start every show. Before we dive into this week's episode, we got a comment about last week's episode that I wanted to read because I thought it was well thought out. This is actually from my old Shy Kids co-host, Dean. He posted this on the Two Fat Daleks Facebook page, which means if you post something on the Two Fat Daleks Facebook page, we might read it on the air too. So he said, I feel like this new doctor may be a big picture type, as Doc said, due to getting too attached to individuals in his previous two incarnations, Smith and Tennant, then losing them. Smith remembering Amy Pond during his regeneration and struggling with protecting the Christmas village come to mind. You can see how uncomfortable Capaldi's doctor is with hugs and mourning. It may be him trying to distance himself from the pain his previous forms got from over-attachment. Smith could at times be much more detached than Tennant's sentimentality, for instance. I feel like he's willfully resisting attachment and sentimentality rather than not caring, as Rorschach says.
Face!
But yeah, so I thought that was I agree with Dean.
I do too.
But he agreed with me, so that's probably why I agree with him. But anyway, so now we're going to dive into the episode Flatline, which was written by Jamie Matheson, who also wrote last week's Mummy on the Orient Express.
Well, he misses one and hits one. What do you want to say?
Misses one and hits one? And for me, he hit both.
Right.
But yeah. I think it was a solid episode, but let's dive into it. Opens with a guy, I think he's calling the police.
I believe he is.
In his apartment, and he's freaking out like, oh, I know they're here. They can hear me. I know what's happened to all the people. And you hear all this like creepy things around him and shit. And then suddenly he gets like kind of sucked and disappeared. And it shows like a pan of his wall. And you see this weird kind of like thing in the wallpaper. Yeah. And then when the camera moves angles, you realize it's his face completely stretched out.
That always freaked me out as a kid when I learned how to do that kind of writing.
Yeah.
It's like secret code writing. You can really, really stretch your letters out real far, and the only way you can see it is the angle of the paper.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, man, this is cool. This is a good start to this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, Doc, that guy, that actor, he had a very short but memorable scene in the Britcom, The Vicar of Dibley.
I've heard that shit's good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And because I will never forget his face, because they were having choir auditions, and he came in and said, I'm very big in the gonads. and I go, oh, my God, it's the gonad guy.
It's the gonad guy.
Yeah.
I love when you'll see shit. Like, I was watching Ashes to Ashes, the spinoff of Life on Mars, which we've talked about before. And Rose Tyler's mom plays a prostitute on that show.
Oh, wow.
In one episode. And I was like, holy shit, it's Rose Tyler's mom.
She would make a good prostitute.
Yeah.
She has that rough look.
I know you didn't mean to be insulting there, but wow. She has that rough look.
Yeah. Rode hard and put up wet.
All right. So, after the credits, because that goes into the credits, after the credits, we have the Doctor and Clara on the TARDIS, and it looks like they've just gone on some trip, and he's like dropping her off. But they land in Bristol instead of London.
Yeah, well, see, there was a problem because she goes, are you going to get me back in time? And he goes, yeah, of course I am. Well, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something was wrong.
Something was going wrong.
Yeah.
This was, of course, the TARDIS steering him to where he needed to be, pretty much. Which is what it'll do sometimes. Be like, oh, there's something going on over here. I'll just take you there. So, you know, they accidentally land in Bristol. And then they look at the TARDIS door and they're like, wait, what the fuck? The TARDIS door is about like half the size it normally is.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
the entrance is kind of closed in. And it's weird.
And the door's smaller. And sure enough, when they open the TARDIS door and it shows it from the outside, the TARDIS is now smaller. And they have to both kind of crawl out the door.
Yeah, it's like clowns getting out of a Volkswagen.
And, you know, the Doctor is obviously perplexed by this because he's never seen this happen before. Although there was an episode called Planet of the Giants, where the TARDIS and the crew were miniaturized. And you know, that's like a First Doctor episode from 64.
Ooh.
Where they had like, oh, it's a giant ant. No. And shit like that.
I need to see those.
Yeah, that's a good one. They've been miniaturized before, but he's never had the TARDIS just get smaller while they're still big. So he's trying to figure out what's going on, why they landed in Bristol instead of where he was aiming, London. He tells Clara, to just go look around, and he's going to hang back in the TARDIS and sort of investigate things on his end. Right?
And Clara goes, sure, why not?
Sure, yeah.
So Clara's walking around.
Yeah, Clara's walking around.
And apparently Bristol is a poor city. I don't know much about Bristol. Is that like a part of London? Or it had a bunch of like council flats and it looked like a very rundown area. And she automatically knew, we're in Bristol.
They apparently have a big art community there.
Okay.
And actually a lot of like wall artwork and murals and shit. So that's kind of commonplace for them.
So Clara's walking around and she goes down into this tunnel, which I only see in English movies because there was like two scenes in two different Harry Potter movies where they're walking through these tunnels all of a sudden. I guess it's left over from World War II, but she comes up on this memorial.
Yeah, it's a memorial for all these people who have gone missing, where it's like paintings of each person from the back, like they're facing away.
Creepy.
Pretty creepy. These construction workers kind of start catcalling her in a way.
Well, I would too.
Hey, baby, how you doing? So, this one construction worker, this young black dude who, a construction worker. What am I saying? They were community service.
Yeah, it was like a community service thing, and there was the head of it. It's like you see people on the side of the roads picking up garbage and stuff.
Yeah, so they were cleaning up graffiti. We find out the young black dude Riggsy, who is doing the community service, is a graffiti artist himself.
Right, graffiti, he's a graffiti artist.
So he's actually having to clean up his own graffiti.
Yeah, okay, and Doc, all right, now I want to know, did you recognize the boss of that crew?
I didn't. His name was Fenton, was the character's name. He was an asshole.
He was a big-time asshole, but he was also in the Tim Burton Batman movie. He was one of the first criminals, remember, that went up on the rooftop when Batman attacked them? And he was the one who said, "Who are you?" And Michael Keaton goes, "I'm Batman."
That was him?
That actor.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I never forgot that face because he is. Well, I mean, he's a rough looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. That was my two actor things.
Oh, okay.
But he was in Tim Burton's Batman.
That's cool.
And he said, "Who are you?
Who are you?
No, what are you?
What are you?" Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway. So back to Clara's in the tunnel looking at the fucking mural thing. And Riggsy runs down and he's like, oh, don't pay any attention to those assholes over there. And he's explaining to her that, you know, like, these are people that are missing. And this is a mural for them. So Clara's like, okay, all right. So she starts to head back to the doctor and she's like, yeah, people are missing.
We found something.
Yeah, we found some, you know, some shit's going down here. And she gets back to the doctor and the...
Where are you?
Yeah, she can't find the TARDIS because it's now smaller.
And I love... She sees the TARDIS and the TARDIS has shrunk even more.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, that's adorable! Why is it when something smaller, girls like it? What?
Okay. That's not true. No. Okay.
So Clara can't get back into the TARDIS because it's too small.
It's too small now. It's like the size of the TARDIS toy that you can go buy, which I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really weird because when I think Clara actually opens the door and all you can see is the doctor's head.
Yeah, you see his face in the doorway.
Funny. Yeah.
It was quite a visual gag. So he tells her that she's got to go, like, figure out what's going on because something is stealing dimensions.
Yeah, the TARDIS had passed through something, I believe it was explained, and
yeah.
It made it actually smaller. And I'm hooked already.
Yeah,
I'm loving this episode.
Right, right.
And so
by the way, this was the writer Jamie Matheson.
Yeah,
this is a spec script he wrote to get a job on Doctor Who. So he wrote it and was like, hey, wow, Hire me. And so they're like, okay, we're going to make this, and we want you to do Mummy on the Orient Express.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, listen, you can't win them all.
He won it's both called, of them, sir.
It's called a sophomore slump.
but backwards? Yeah, backwards sophomore
well,
slump?
Well, I thought he did this one first.
Well, oh yeah, that's true. He did write this one first.
This was the good script, and but
both were good scripts.
I think the doctor hands Clara the sonic screwdriver and the passport.
The psychic paper.
The psychic paper, I mean.
The passport.
And Clara, for some reason, chooses to be a member of MI5.
Yeah. So she does this thing where she's like, so does that mean I'm the doctor now? And he goes, no. But she meets, she introduces herself as, I'm the doctor, but you can call me Clara.
This is a very heavy Clara episode.
Yeah, it was a Dr. Light episode, which they do one per season. And they also do a Companion Light episode per season. I think that was last week's episode.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's just to give the actors a break. They just film all the Capaldi scenes in like a day, just him standing around in the TARDIS.
Sticking his head out the little door.
Yeah. So Clara's now going around pretending she's the doctor, and she, meets back up with Riggsy, the graffiti artist. She's like, can we go see, like, one of the people that are missing? Can we go, like, look at their house? Can we go investigate? And he's like, okay, sure. Cause he's a local, so he kind of knows everybody.
Right.
So, they go to this one house, and, it's got this interesting mural on the wall that looks kind of like the ground of a desert.
It's the first thing I noticed, Doc, and I can't believe Clara and, Riggsy didn't notice it.
Again, they're in Bristol, where
it's an artist community.
Not memorials, murals.
Mural.
Murals are quite popular in this area.
I saw that, Doc, and I said, oh my God, that's a patch of skin. Yeah. I actually said that. I was like, oh, wow.
That's what I was thinking, too. Which we were both right. Yeah. So they're kind of looking around this apartment, and she's sort of trying to figure out, like, okay, well, if the TARDIS has shrunk, maybe this guy shrunk.
Starts looking under the sofa.
Yeah, so Riggsy starts freaking out. Like, okay, this woman's crazy. I better leave. And the doctor's like, wait, no, make him stay because he's the local guy. We need his information.
She also started pulling out the sonic screwdriver and waving it around the room.
Yeah. That's got to look nuts to somebody.
Do we live in a world where people are familiar with the doctor?
No, what it is we are in a world where people are familiar with aliens now.
Right, that's true because of that other series.
So that's why, when she pulls out the TARDIS to show it to Riggsy, and you see the Doctor standing in it, And he's like, oh, are you guys aliens? And she's like, well, he is, not me. That's why he's not all like, oh my God. That's why, like, lately, if someone says, yeah, I'm an alien, they're not like, oh my God.
That's
they're
very
just like,
true,
Doc. Oh, okay. Because yes. There's a fuckload of aliens going around now. Yeah. So.
They're searching the apartment. And they go into another room. No, wait, a police officer comes, doesn't she?
Yeah, well, no, they're searching that place, and then they decide to go search somebody else's house, too.
Right.
Like, one of the other victims. And in this one, there's, like, a police officer there. And Claire pretends she's MI5.
Which is, I found hilarious.
Now, is that, like, FBI?
That's like the British FBI.
Yeah, British FBI, okay.
And MI6 is the CIA.
But, got it. Yeah. And I believe there's a show called MI5 also. It's like a British show, right?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so she is pretending she's MI5 with the psychic paper. And this cop, PC Forrest was her name. They're looking around this other house. And she wanders into this one room. And I believe this is now the house where the guy in the beginning got killed.
Right, I'm big in the gonads.
Yeah, the gonads guy. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. The cop heads into one room, and Claire and Rigsy are still in another room. And the cop suddenly starts getting sucked into the ground.
Yeah, it was creepy, because it looked like worms.
Yeah, it was. Like, there was this shit in the wall that then went into the ground and then pulled the cop in. And it wasn't like some... I was kind of expecting I thought this was going to be a shitty episode, because I am waiting for the clunker for me. I haven't had it yet. I know you've had two. You've had two, but I haven't had a clunker yet. So I'm like, well, when are we getting the clunker? Because there's always one, at least one. So I thought, this is probably going to be it. Flattened people, that's silly. But then when you see them getting flattened, it's disturbing.
It's horrifying.
I thought it was going to be a silly, like, bloop.
Right. Kind of like those stained glass windows in Young Sherlock Holmes or something.
Yeah.
It was going to look incredibly cheesy, and they were going to look like paper people.
But you can hear, like, first of all, they're screaming, and you can hear kind of like bones cracking.
Yeah, it was a rough scene to watch, because one of her legs is still on up.
Yeah.
And her other leg is being sucked down, and I think it broke. And it was pretty rough to watch.
Yeah. So she gets sucked into the floor. And then these things, whatever they are, can like move. Like after they suck someone into the floor, they can move them around. Cause then when Clara and Rigsy runs in there to find out what the hell happened, they can't find her. And now there's a mural on the wall that looks like all these sort of red, veiny things.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the doctor has hacked into Clara's optic nerve with a little device that's in her ear. So the doctor can see what she sees from the TARDIS.
Which was cool.
Yeah. And so he goes, oh, that's a fucking, nervous system, like stretched out. That's what that is. So he's starting to wonder if there's, he said that they've speculated for years that there were creatures that lived in the 2D dimension.
Right.
And he thinks that maybe they're trying to either break through or they're grabbing us and experimenting on us. That's when he realizes the mural from the first house was a microscopic skin cell sort of blown up.
Right.
Or a patch of skin, yeah, blown up to look like a fucking desert floor. And then this is like the nervous system. So he thinks that, okay, these creatures are kind of experimenting on us, which is creepy.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was another creepy episode. And by the way, by the end of this episode, we still didn't know any more about them than we did, like what was going on in that earlier episode with the thing on the bed.
Yeah.
I love the ambiguity of these episodes.
I think that works, ambiguity.
Yeah.
So then the things in the walls try to start attacking Clara and Rigsy. And they this guy who owned this apartment happened to have one of those sort of bubble chairs that hang from the ceiling on a chain.
Yeah, it looked like something out of Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, so they kind of jump in that so that the things can't get to them. And they're trying to swing it to swing out the window.
Yeah, and Danny calls.
And Danny calls Clara, and she answers.
Why does she answer, Doc?
Because I think it's because she was late for their date now. That's why she wanted to get dropped off, because they were supposed to go have a date in the park. So now she's late for that.
I don't know how Danny... Well, he did kind of hear the clicking and clacking of those two-dimensional creatures, and Clara's obviously stressed, and, yeah, and Riggsy's going,
Yeah. And he goes, he sounds active. What's going on? She goes, well, I'm just helping this kid find his aunt. Because she's not lying there, that his aunt was one of the people that went missing. So, but yeah. So she hangs up on Danny. She's like, I gotta go. And he clearly knows something's going on.
Yeah.
Because
he's a smart guy.
She sounded and at first it sounded like,
Yeah, I know. That's what was killing me. I was like,
But it was, her in danger. So yeah, then they break through the window.
Yeah, they fall through a window.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was a weird kind of a little Indiana Jonesy thing. They start swinging the chair back and forth, and finally the chain breaks because these creatures are going up to it. Isn't that what breaks the chain at the ceiling?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get down on them, and it falls through the window, and they're both fine, by the way.
Right. Well, that's a movie thing that you can just jump through windows and be okay.
Yeah, no cuts.
I have a theory that the dimension that movies exist in, that their glass is very brittle and not sharp at all.
Right.
Unless you're a bad guy at the very end of the movie, then you get killed
by it. It's like the crust of a creme brulee.
Exactly. meanwhile, the TARDIS, by the way, is in Clara's purse.
Yeah.
Oh, and we forgot a funny visual gag. So previous to that little scene, when they're in the apartment with the cop, the doctor speculates, okay, what if these people are somehow in the walls? And he hands Clara a sledgehammer, out of the TARDIS door. So she pulls a full sledgehammer out of her purse.
That was so great.
Yeah. So yeah, I forgot. I wanted to point that out, and we completely forgot about it. So anyway, they're now heading back to where the workers were painting over graffiti, and it turns out they're about to paint over the mural in the tunnel.
Right.
And Riggsy's upset. He's like, "You can't do that. This is it's a memorial." And the evil boss was like, "It wasn't city sanctioned. We gotta get rid of it." And then meanwhile, the doctor is, watching from the TARDIS, and he realizes, wait, these are all these missing people, and people are getting sucked into walls. What if these are the missing people?
Yeah. And folks, some shit's about to start to go down in this show. We'll be back in a moment.
So they, they're like, no, wait, no, you definitely can't paint over them now, because Clara realizes, oh, these are the people. She makes Riggsy realize it. But then one of the workers just gets immediately sucked into the wall. Just blip. And they're like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? And then all the images in the wall turn around.
This was freaking me out, because it was really well done. The special effects in this episode were amazing.
Very much so. And the doctor realizes, he goes, oh, okay, these are the creatures now taking the form of the bodies they stole. So he tells them, like, okay, you guys all need to get out of there. So they go running, and they end up in the kind of this warehouse that was nearby.
It was a train station.
Yeah, it was an old train station. Yeah, you're right. It was a train station. And this, I thought this part was cool, because the doctor kind of revealed how he does things. He goes, okay, Clara, everyone's confused right now and freaking out, and pretty soon a leader is going to emerge. You need to make sure that's you.
You, yeah.
That's what the doctor does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Clara just walks up and she's like, okay, I need you to guard that door.
By the way, Doc.
Yeah.
Fenton
never believed she was with MI5.
Oh, yeah. She tries to show him the psychic paper and say she's MI5. No, she says she's from like the city council. She tries to tell him she's from the city council and that they can't paint over the mural. And he goes, that's just a blank sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And the doctor goes, wow, you have to really have no imagination if psychic paper doesn't work on you.
And let's go into this
Fenton
character for a little while. He's probably a guy. I mean, he hates his job because he's having to deal with derelicts and criminals all day.
Yeah.
And then at night, before he goes home to the battle axe of a wife, I'm sure he has, he stops off by the bar. He gets drunk with his friends. And, you know, this is like the highlight of his day. It's a pub culture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he comes home. He puts on Graham Norton Tonight.
There's no way he watches Graham Norton Tonight.
There's no way
he... Oh, I don't want to see that queer on my television.
Okay, so he
watches Top Gear.
Yeah, he watches Top Gear and other weird National Front programming. Let's call it. Yeah. But anyway, that's the kind of guy this guy is. So he's a blank slate.
Yeah,
and he's never dreamed a day in his life. His big dream is to not have an asshole show up when he's having these people clean up or, you know, he's just a normal guy. You can't really, let's lay off him.
Fenton.
Yeah. by the way, also, when Clara, back when she's talking to Danny, and she's pretending like everything's fine, the doctor then realizes, oh, so you've been lying to both of us. Because you made me think he was fine with it.
In reference to the ending of last episode.
Yeah, and he's clearly wouldn't be fine with it and doesn't even know you're still traveling with me. And then the doctor makes a comment like, lying's good. he says like, that's a good skill to have, lying. It's a bad habit, but it's a good skill because people who have hope... run faster than people who think they're doomed.
Right. Which was bleak.
Yeah. Again, he's kind of showing her doctory things. And then even in this scene, back to now her trying to establish herself as a leader and telling people, okay, you guard that door. And then
Fenton
goes, who put you in charge? Who are you? And she goes, I'm the best shot you have at getting out of here alive.
Right.
That's a very doctory thing to say.
Well, it is, and it's also true.
Yeah.
Clara could take control of my life any day.
Take control of your life.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It's not share the life. It's take control of it for me. Thank you.
Take control of it. Okay, I won't. I'm getting my creepy voice now. Yeah.
This is what Daddy likes. All right.
Yeah, and it was around this time, I think, that the doctor finds out he can communicate with him, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because he's wondering if, like, he doesn't know yet. Are these creatures evil? Are they just experimenting on us to see, like, what the fuck is this shit?
I think it was Clara that said, or are they just trying to say hello?
Are they trying to say hello? And the doctor mentions other races that say hello weird, like there's one... race of gas-based creatures that throw fireballs at each other to say hello.
And then there was something about some stomachs.
Yeah, there's one with, like, there's a race with a bunch of stomachs, and they to say hello, they disembowel.
Good Lord, Doc.
Yeah. So he's wondering, are they just trying to say hello? Do they not realize that they're hurting us because they don't realize that we need three dimensions? We can't exist on two dimensions. They kind of hook something up to speak in this loudspeaker that's in the train station. And
but she uses the sonic screwdriver.
It's the sonic, okay. So the doctor is sending signals out of the TARDIS of things that would be communicable. So he sends the equation for pi, because even though they're flat, they would still have circles.
Right.
So, you know, if these are intelligent creatures, they'll know what pi is. And sure enough, they start responding in this weird, like, language.
Right.
And the TARDIS translates it, and it's 55. It turns out 55 was the number on the jumpsuit of the guy they had previously killed.
But, the guy that was first grabbed in the...
In that little tunnel, yeah. With the murals. And then they say 22, which is one of the guys that's kind of standing around with them. His jumpsuit says 22, so they're like, ah, oh, they've picked the next target.
Yeah, oh, and it was here Clara was saying, well, maybe they're just saying hello. And Roscoe goes, what are they, gloating?
Yeah, Roscoe thinks they're gloating.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, they look back at the number 22 guy, and he's kind of standing completely still. And they're like, well, hello, what's going on? And then they kind of change angles, and it turns out he has been flattened against the wall. And, like, half of him has been flattened against a sort of cabinet.
And it's so creepy.
It was creepy, because if you look at it straight on, it looks like he's just standing there. But if you turn sideways, you realize, oh, he's been fucking flattened against everything.
So we've got another guy gone now.
Another guy gone, and then these creatures start coming through the walls like, bleh, like the weird snaky-looking shit. So they go, they run out this one door that they had found that leads into, like, old train tunnels. And that's where Riggsy was saying he's gone down there before and done his graffiti.
He's
familiar with that area. So,
right.
Like, all right, lead us through here. So they're going through there and, they find all these doors where the handle's been flattened. So they can't, like, get out. The doctor starts to build this little device in the TARDIS.
This is my favorite pun of the whole show.
And, he hands it to Clara. And he goes, look at the name. And it says,
look at the name.
It says 2DIS. And she's like, two dice. And then he goes, no, it's a TARDIS. Get it?
Like TARDIS.
Like TARDIS. And she's like, okay. And he goes, why do I even bother?
Yeah. I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah. So she starts using it to, try to open the door. And I forget, does it, like, fail at first?
Yeah, it smokes, actually. It kind of, like, smokes. It blows up, kind of.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, it doesn't really unflatten the door handle. So they're like, all right, I guess we have to walk. So they're starting to walk. That's where they come across one of Riggsy's own murals, which looked pretty cool. It looked like this sort of scene, but in a reflection of a window with glass breaking.
Yeah, it was cool looking.
Yeah, it was cool looking.
I mean, it was no Mighty Horse Russ fat ass, but
no,
it was still...
No, but it was cool looking, yeah. So they're walking down the tunnel now, and they kind of stop to have a conversation. I forget what they're talking about in this conversation, but suddenly, out of nowhere, a giant hand...
Yes! What the fuck was that? That took me by surprise, and the camera work on this was so... A giant... Okay, I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
It made me jump. It made me jump.
It did me, too.
Giant hand out of nowhere just flies in, grabs one of the workers, and just pulls him down the tunnel, like, at high speeds.
And the camera chases him, which made it even more horrifying.
And he's just screaming. Now, here's what's cool. When I rewatched the episode, because I watched the episode twice, I watched the background while they were talking, and you can see the hands slowly emerging from the ceiling and forming, and then creeping up on them.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know. I watched it twice, too. Yeah. I didn't notice.
Watch that scene again after we finish today, and it's creepy. You see the hand forming in the background and then creeping up on them and then just grabbing the guy.
I don't know if I'll have time, Doc. I got to watch Graham Norton again.
So they see the guy get, you know, pulled down the tunnel, and the doctor realizes oh shit, okay, now they've learned how to take 3D form. This hand sort of formed itself out of the tunnel wall. It even looked all rocky like the tunnel wall.
Yeah.
So they start fucking running back from where they were coming from, which is towards that door with the flat handle. Meanwhile, the doctor has kind of fixed that little device, and he's made it stronger. And he's
By the way, try it again. Clara and the doctor are passing this stuff through Clara's purse.
Yeah, she just keeps putting in her purse into the TARDIS doors and handing shit to him. Yeah, so the doctor gives her the device back, and now it works better, and she's able to unflatten the handle so they can get through this door. And then when they get through, she can hit it again to flatten it again.
Which is cool.
Meanwhile, these creatures have kind of formed into these humanoid figures, where they're all warpy and like, zzz, zzz,
like. You know what it reminded me of? Like a Tool video.
Yeah,
it was like this really weird. And guys, I'm telling you, it's creepy. It was like the stop motion weird. But then all of a sudden, there'd be like this weird kind of video blur.
It was like this twitchy sort of. It reminded me of like in The Ring after she crawls out of the TV.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. She does this one thing where she starts walking towards the guy, and kind of like she kind of zaps and is like suddenly way closer to him. It's like an instant teleport thing.
It was incredibly creepy.
And it reminded me of that type of jerky ghost movement. Yeah. So yeah, these things are now at the door trying to get in, and they're able to zap since they can now make things 3D. They're able to, like, zap the handle to make it 3D. Meanwhile, the doctor, by the way, in the TARDIS, and this is something I had missed the first time, he says he's figured out how to send them back to their dimension, but they've been draining the TARDIS of its power.
I would imagine, big
which
time.
Is why it's been shrinking, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it can't do the thing he needs it to do to send them back to their dimension. But he's figured out how to beat them. It's just he can't do it. The TARDIS is, like, on low power now. So they start running because the door is about to open again. Claire is, like, talking to the doctor. This fucking made me hate Fenton so much. he goes, give me that device. And he reaches in Claire's purse to pull out the TARDIS. And they kind of struggle over it for a second. And it falls down like a pit.
Yeah.
And it lands on subway tracks.
Now, Doc, let me remind you again.
Fenton
had a hard life. He's used to being in control of these people. You know, come on, Doc. Let's have a little sympathy for the devil.
Fuck Fenton.
So, Claire's like, okay, well, again, yeah, you know? So they gotta start running against. They can't spend too long going, why did you do that? So they just have to keep running. Meanwhile, the doctor's kind of communicating with Claire, and he goes, I think I have she goes, oh, you fell down a hole. And, he opens the TARDIS doors and looks out, and he realizes that he's laying on subway tracks and there's a train coming.
It's a really funny scene because he opens the door, you see his full head.
Yeah.
And he's going like, I'm on the train tracks and there's a train coming.
Yeah. And he's saying that the TARDIS's power is so low that the shields are off right now.
Right.
So if that train hits him, he's done for.
Dunzo.
He's dunzo. So Clara's like, well, can't you just move the thing off the tracks? And he goes, I can't. You know, I can't get out. And she goes,
favorite line of the show here.
She goes, like Adam's family.
Like Adam's family. which perfect sense.
Yeah. It was great. So the doctor puts his hand out the TARDIS door and starts walking his hand around like the thing from the Addams Family.
It was so great because it worked.
Yeah, it totally worked. So he's like crawling with his hand, moving the TARDIS off the tracks.
And Doc, you know what I love? When it cut back into the TARDIS, the doctor did a little dance.
Yeah, he did a little dance. Yeah. The problem he kind of, when he moved the TARDIS, he was on kind of an incline.
Right.
And then like, as the subway's getting closer, the tracks start shaking and the TARDIS falls back, and like there's a piece of the TARDIS still sitting on the tracks now.
Not good.
Not good. So the Doctor realizes the train's about to hit the TARDIS, so he runs towards the TARDIS console and pulls a switch. And we don't know what happens after that point for a moment, because it just shows the train go by. And now Clara can't talk to the Doctor.
Through her earpiece.
Anymore. He's completely cut off.
Doc, is it just me?
Yeah.
Or does every episode of Two Fat Daleks get more clusterfucky?
We are two clusterfucky fat fucks.
And Doc, another thing I'd like to mention about this season is they've really stayed away from the hard science fiction, except for Inside the Dalek, Into the Dalek. They've really stayed away from really hard. It's been mostly kind of like horror, gothic horror stuff.
A goal of Moffat's this season is he wanted, like, there's the fourth Doctor in some of his earlier episodes. The showrunner at the time did make the show very gothic feeling. Yeah. I think Moffat kind of wanted to recapture that era a bit.
He's doing good.
Which he's doing good, definitely. Yeah. Also, I don't think that Doctor Who's ever been hard sci-fi. There's been a few episodes, but like, I think of this more as like a fantasy sci-fi show.
That's true.
Because their science is shaky and is always explained away with a quick line. You know what I mean?
I guess what I'm saying is we haven't seen that many, remember the hospital that Tennant and went to?
Where you met Martha?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we haven't seen too many really futuristic hard. Well, I take that back. That bank was.
Yeah, the bank.
It just hasn't been really emphasized this year like other ones. I think we haven't seen the Cybermen this year. We've only had one Dalek episode.
Only do one Dalek episode a season usually.
But I think you know what I mean. We haven't seen too much stuff in space. It's been mostly dealing with Earth.
Yeah. That was another thing, is that this season is a lot more down home.
Yeah.
Much like Eccleston's first season. Eccleston's first season, they never land on an alien planet.
Right.
The furthest they get is a space station.
And, Doc, I'm hearing a lot of stuff on Reddit and the other Doctor Who podcast about they're complaining this season is way too relationship heavy with Clara and Danny Pink.
I don't think that at all.
I don't either. I really don't.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that emphasizes, I love her character this season.
Yeah, you know. I think there's just people who don't like companions. And they're just like, I think there's people who view the companions as just a thing that's there that we don't need. I think there's plenty of people who would want to just see the Doctor on adventures
without a companion. I think there's people who want to be the companions.
So they're jealous of the current companions? Yeah,
How dare she say that TARDIS was adorable? I would have said, Doctor, how can I help you? That's what I would have said.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But yeah, anyway. They're heading down another tunnel. And there's another train coming. And back behind them are those creatures kind of, you know, inching on them. Clara like triggers one of those stop signs, with the sonic to stop the train. And the conductor gets out and he's like, oh, what's going on? And she's like, oh yeah, there's some shit on the tracks over there. Can we ram it? And he goes, I love this. The conductor goes, is this sanctioned? Cause I've always wanted to ram something.
I liked him.
Yeah, he was great.
Even at the end, he was great. He was like, well, I got to ride in one of those things or something like that. I liked him.
So Riggsy does that thing that companions do where those one episode companions do where they're like, oh, I'm going to go sacrifice myself to save them. So he jumps in the train and takes off in it to ram the creatures.
And Clara was like, no.
Yeah, Clara jumps on after him, and she's like, look, you don't need to do that here. And she pulled out a hairband and just used it to pull the train lever down. And she's like, see, it'll fucking drive itself. Let's go. And he's like, oh, fuck, all right. He was trying to be all heroic.
He was sad that he wasn't going to get to die.
Yeah. Well, again, it's that thing people try to sacrifice themselves. I'll save you. Remember me.
He was a graffiti artist. He wanted to tag the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the higher you make your graffiti, the more respect you get.
That's true. That's graffiti culture and its finest. So sure enough, they jump off the train, and then when the train gets even close to the creatures, it just gets sucked into the wall.
And it becomes a mural.
It becomes a mural to the train.
It was cool.
So their plan didn't work anyway. They flee to this room, meanwhile, Clara finds the TARDIS, but it now resembles like a cube. But it kind of looked like the Pandorica, actually. But it was like a small cube with Gallifreyan writing on it. This is why she goes, I think this might be the TARDIS. Turns out the doctor had pulled the sort of ultimate security system, which just encases the TARDIS in this metal cube, which, stops. He can't even communicate outside of it, really. He's on such low power.
Yeah, it was called safety mode, or
yeah,
it was something like that. But
it's like a lockdown mode, and yeah. The problem is, though, he doesn't have enough power to disengage it, so he thinks he's going to die in there.
Including
life support is, like, failing. So they head back to this one room where they're kind of locked in, and Clara's trying to communicate with the doctor and can't get him, and she starts like, okay, what would the doctor do? What would the doctor do? She gets an idea and grabs this big poster off a wall and turns it over and tells Riggsy he needs to paint something. We don't know what it is yet at this point.
Wait, Riggsy's a graffiti artist.
Yeah, we've established that.
Right. He's probably thinking, well, I'll do a backward swastika or the Who. Just the words of Who.
The Who. Yeah.
And, but she's like, no.
Yeah.
And we find out later.
Yeah.
You want to, yeah, I mean,
yeah. So it turns out.
Clara got an idea to energize the TARDIS.
Yeah. She realized that she needs to do what the doctor does, which is turn the monster's power against them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So she has him paint a perfect mural of the door. And they open the door and then hang up that mural.
Right.
Instead. And the TARDIS is behind it. So these monsters start trying to zap the door. And the zapping they're doing is just going through the door and hitting the TARDIS, the little miniaturized cube.
And by the way, the doctor's about to pass out at this moment.
Yeah,
the TARDIS is very dark inside. He's losing air.
And he starts saying, like, Clara, I don't know if you can hear me, but you were good. You were exceptional.
Because Clara was saying, please tell me I did good.
Yeah, yeah. So, well,
he wouldn't say it to her.
Yeah. So he starts saying it like as he's about to die.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, this thing starts energizing the TARDIS, giving it its power back. And so the TARDIS turns back into a TARDIS looking thing and
big.
He's able to fly it. He flies it down this like hallway and then comes back in its normal sized again.
And it shields her up,
and like he extends the shield so that they push back the monsters. And he starts delivering this really great speech that I wish I knew verbatim, but it was pretty much that like he gave these things a chance, but they've proven themselves to be monsters,
right?
And so he's got to do what he does, which is he's the man who gets rid of the monsters. So he walks out of the TARDIS doors and he names them. He goes, I dub you the Boneless and I'm sending you back to your dimension. And he does the thing and sends them all back to their 2D dimension. And he warns them.
With the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. It's the sonic and the shit that the TARDIS is doing, that shield thing. It's kind of a combination of the two. And he says, if any of you survive the trip, make sure you don't return because this dimension is protected. Which is something the doctor said before.
Yes, it is.
Call back. So, a siege mode, by the way, was the...
Yeah, siege the mode. That's
siege
what it was.
Mode, yeah.
I said safety? Yeah, but it's siege.
Safety
yeah.
mode. Siege mode, yeah. So, the doctor takes everyone back to, like, drops them off back to where they kind of were. The conductor is happy. because, you know, he's alive. And he thanks the doctor and Clara.
Fenton
is a dickhead and is just like, you know, we may have lost a few bad apples, but at least the important people are still alive.
Which is kind of what the doctor has been. Yeah, but the doctor corrects him. Yeah, because it goes, we lost a few trees, but brushes, but we saved the forest. No, you got to clear out. What did he say? It was something like that.
Yeah, we lost some shrubs, but we kept the trees. So right. He's trying to say that the important people survived.
Right.
That is not what the doctor would agree with.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
This doctor, yes.
No, this doctor doesn't want anybody to die.
This doctor is a big picture doctor. And I'm using your words against you, Doc.
You're misinterpreting them because he doesn't want anybody to die. But if people die, he doesn't sit there worrying about it. He's got to move on to save the day.
I'm kidding, sweetheart.
But this guy was like, they weren't important. That's not how the doctor sees it.
Well, this
Fenton
sees them this way, though, Doc. I'm trying to get you to have a little sympathy for him.
No, fuck Fenton. He stinks.
You've been very hostile toward
Fenton
this entire episode, Doc.
You hate Fenton too. Shut up. Quit playing devil's advocate. So, Doctor even says something like, "It seems like some of the wrong people survived."
Yeah.
And then Riggsy says goodbye, and the Doctor says to Riggsy, "Like your painting saved the day. I can't wait to see your next one." And Riggsy
I just got
off.
It.
Yeah.
Banksy.
Riggsy Banksy.
Banksy.
There you
I just
go.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
There you go. So then Claire, this is where Claire is like, "So I did good, right?" And he won't say. And then she reveals she heard him in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
At the end when he was saying, like, "I don't know if you could hear me, but you did good." And she goes, "But you were probably delirious because of the life support system failing." Yeah. And he goes, "Yep." And then she's like, "Why won't you tell me I did good?" And he goes, "No, listen, Clara, you were an exceptional doctor, but there was nothing good about it." And then walks into the TARDIS. But yeah, that's how the episode ends. Now, this is how I interpreted him saying that.
Actually, that's not how it ends.
Oh, you're right. Well, let me interpret this line first, and then we'll get to how it really ends.
Okay.
So the doctor said, you know, "You were an exceptional doctor, but there was nothing good about it." And I think this is the recurring theme of this season, more so than the steampunkness that you're noticing.
Yeah.
I think that's just more of an aesthetic.
Right.
And even more so than the soldier, although there's definitely a soldier thing going on. But even more so than that, the doctor is struggling with whether he is a good man or not. This has come up several times this season. The doctor does not see himself as a hero. He sees himself as kind of, you know, just a shithead who tries to help out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he says to Clara, you know, "You were an exceptional doctor, but there's nothing good about it," he's saying that there's nothing good about being the doctor. You were great at being the doctor, but that's not a good thing to be like me.
Complex.
Yeah.
This is very complex.
He's got a low self-esteem. He doesn't see himself as a good thing, which I think this is, you know, again, where this season is heading as far as what's going to happen at the end. Something's going to go down.
Shit.
And then we get a glimpse of what's going to happen at the end, probably, because then the episode does conclude with Missy.
And now, let's set this up. The scene fades to white.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. We're going back to heaven here.
Yeah.
And Missy's sitting there with an iPad.
Yeah. She has an
iPad.
And
Clara's pictures on it.
And she's looking at Clara. An insinuation that I took is that she kind of watched them during this whole thing.
Yeah.
And she's looking at Clara and she goes, "Oh, Clara, I've chosen you well."
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. But the insinuation is that Missy is the one that gave Clara the doctor's phone number in, you know, when Clara first met the doctor.
Right.
So I guess that would be accurate that she did kind of choose her, like, "Here, call this guy." But I don't know what her plans are with that. You know what I mean?
is Clara a double agent?
I don't think so. I don't think Claire is a double agent, but I think Missy has some bigger plan of why she needs these two together. That's probably what the finale is going to be about. So, yeah. that's how that episode ended. Then we went into a preview of next week's, which is apparently a forest grew in London overnight.
and a bunch of kids. And I'm sensing a Little Red Riding Hood thing, or
there was a tiger.
Yeah. Well, there was a wolf too.
There was a wolf. I missed the wolf. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a quick little preview. Now I'm like, well, this is going to be the clunker then, but who knows? We'll see.
You don't know this season. You really don't.
I don't know. It's one of the reviewers said we're in a golden age of Doctor Who right now.
Yeah, I said that. I said that like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah, that was you then.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I did. I know, I believe you, but I'm saying another reviewer agrees with you then.
He stole it from me.
Because he said that every episode this season has been good, which is something you disagree with, but you still say it's a golden age.
Well, I mean, the Robin Hood one was okay.
Yeah.
Mummy on the Train was, you know, horrid, but it... This week's episode, I give it a good solid A minus, maybe A.
I'd say A minus too. It was a solid episode of Doctor Who.
I love this week's episode.
Monsters were creepy.
It was funny. It had some funny parts. It was a good special effects. The story sucked me in. It was great.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. Flatline, great episode. Good job, Jamie Matheson. 2 hits in a row. 2 great episodes in a row.
Yes. Well, yeah. 1.
No, 2. It was 2.
I don't envy your editing.
Yeah, me neither. You could follow me on Twitter at DocuWeets. You could like me on Facebook or follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/DocuWeets. And you can hear me on the Shy Kids podcast at theshykids.com and on morelikeradio.com every Saturday.
You can hear me on morelikeradio.com also on It's All About Me. I am RORSCHACH7 on Twitter, and we are on Shark Tank with a C.
Oh, yeah, 2 Fat Daleks is on SharkTank.com, Shark Tank with a C instead of a K. And you can download our episodes there if you're listening live and you want to hear older ones, download them there.
By the way, Doc, have we missed a call? Didn't Clara call Danny again? Have we missed that?
No, she didn't. Okay. He tried to call her again, and she rejected it at the end.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, she's got a Samsung now. She had an iPhone all season, and now she's got a Samsung?
She upgraded.
Did you? Fuck you.
Oh, shit. Oh,
did you hear that? Oh, fuck you.
Oh, face. All right.
Wow, I snapped at you there. Wow,
that was
good.
I liked it.
I'm sorry.
I liked it.
I'm a very strong apple boy.
That, if you didn't know we were talking about the phones, that's the funniest statement. I'm a very strong apple boy.
Leave that in.
Play the sound effect.